revolving door was invented in New York City, but it was perfected in Washington, D.C., where it possibly gets the most use of anywhere in the world. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. Every Friday, Publishers Weekly senior writer Andrew Albanese joins me with the latest publishing industry news. This week, he reports that a once prominent figure on Capitol Hill has popped up in the busy neighborhood surrounding K Street. Welcome back to Beyond the Book, Andrew.
Hey there, Chris.
Well, it did not take very long for the former U.S. Register of Copyrights, Maria Palante, to find a new gig. She was removed, as we've reported, from that office by her boss, the Librarian of Congress, Carla Hayden, back in October. And this week, she was named president and CEO of the Association of American Publishers. And you've got the full story this Monday in Publishers Weekly. And she will be succeeding the current president and CEO, Tom Allen.
Yeah. So, you know, first, I have to say very humbly, I totally called it. My editor, Jim Milia, can vouch for me on this, but in the days right after Maria Palante was removed as register, I went down, sat in his office and said, is it me or does Maria Palante not seem tailor-made for this AAP job? And ever since, when Jim has wondered when AAP was finally going to announce who Tom Allen's replacement was, he'd come over to my office and say, has AAP named Maria Palante yet? Well, apparently I should consider starting my own executive search firm, because this week, as you noted, the AAP did indeed announce that former U.S. Register of Copyrights Maria Palante is going to succeed Tom Allen as president and CEO beginning on Tuesday of next week, January 17th. Allen, who took the AAP post in April of 2009, I believe it was, told PW that he was pretty eager to begin his retirement, which has actually been in the works for some time. You know, I think he'd actually planned to retire at the end of 2014, but actually agreed to extend his contract two more years to the end of 2016. But before I move on to Palante, I do want to point out that there is a silver lining to Tom Allen's leaving the AAP, and that is that the former six-term Democratic congressman from Maine is really an excellent political commentator. In 2013, he published a really great book about Congress with Oxford University Press called Dangerous Convictions. He told me in an interview recently that he was probably going to write more about Congress now that he's left or is leaving AEP. So I think we can all benefit from Tom Allen's views on Congress and whatever book he's going to write, especially given our current political climate. And if you haven't read his book, which again is called Dangerous Convictions, published by Oxford University Press, do pick it up. I think you'll find it to be really excellent analysis. But back to Maria, and you know, despite touting my abilities to see the future, let me admit that, well, I wasn't really out on a limb there, because her strong background in IP law and policy, her leadership experience, her deep connections in Congress, and I mean deep, both in the Senate and in the House, and some connections to publishing. She even worked briefly in the 90s for the Authors Guild and the National Writers Union, really did make her a sort of seemingly perfect fit for AAP.
Well, as you say, Andrew, a seemingly perfect fit for the publishers organization here in the U.S., but really a perfect stroke of luck for Maria Palante.
Absolutely. You know, we spoke about Palante's dismissal by the new Librarian of Congress, Carla Hayden, in October, and all of my sources said that that dismissal really sort of owed to Palante's firm belief that the Register of Copyrights should be an independent post outside the Library of Congress where it currently resides. And, you know, simply put, Hayden couldn't really undertake all that needs to be done to update the Copyright Office, and really the Copyright Office needs significant upgrading when she had a subordinate like Palante pushing for independence. Hence her very surprising removal, and unseen, I don't think anybody would have predicted this, her removal in October. Meanwhile, AAP announced in September that it was looking for Tom Allen's replacement. So as you say, perfect timing. You know, if Palante was upset at being removed as register by Carla Hayden, and I don't know for sure that she was, but she might consider sending Hayden a thank you note now, because I had a look at the public records as well. And according to the most recent filings, her new AAP gig is going to come with a pretty significant salary bump. But one other thing I should mention, that, you know, AAP has been cagey at best, I'd say, about where it stands on a proposal to establish the Copyright Office as a separate agency. And I know we've discussed that recently on this show. It was recently suggested by a congressional committee committee that be undertaken. The AAP seemed to support this, but when I actually wrote that AAP was supporting an independent copyright office, they got in touch and said, in fact, no, we just believe that the issue should be studied. Well, I don't think there can be any doubt about where AAP stands on an independent copyright office now that they've hired Maria Polante, who has authored a report pushing for exactly that.
Okay, so maybe no doubt on that particular point, but there's a lot to this job, and if Maria Polante seems like a perfect fit at first glance, you've looked into it a little more closely than that for your article coming in Monday. So how did you find it?
Well, you know, we'll see. And I know that sounds like a dodge. It's a very unsatisfying answer. But in Monday's issue, I look at just sort of a few ways that this could go. You know, so first, on the copyright and IP stuff, I don't think there's any question that there are few more qualified people than Maria Polante to lead AAP. And the copyright stuff is very, very important for AAP, especially as we are just starting to inch toward copyright reform in Congress. Polante has very deep ties with the artists and content communities. She's very respected in Congress for her counsel as well. And she has studied the issues. There's no doubt about that. Now, that said, Polante has also gotten significant heat from critics who have said that the Copyright Office under her leadership, especially, is a captured agency. Copyright, remember, is supposed to benefit the public. There is that part of the copyright clause that says for the progress of the arts, etc. But over the years, critics say the Copyright Office has really become pretty much beholden to the entertainment industry lobby. The group Public Knowledge, for example, put out a pretty damning report in September of 2016 on the Copyright Office being a quote-unquote biased agency. And I think this hiring also will, you know, somewhat bolster critics of the quote unquote revolving door in government, right? That is, you know, how agency heads go from government to leader positions in the industries that lobbied them. So, you know, the question I have is, you know, is Polante's deep experience with IP law and all of her connections in Congress going to really aid AAP, or are her opponents, for example, she has quite a few in the tech industry, Google, Amazon, etc., going to try to effectively use such criticism against her? We'll have to see how that plays out. Second on my mind, you know, IP is just one part of the job at AAP. And while it's important, there are other issues as well, such as the freedom to publish and, you know, adapting to new emerging business models and, you know, the tough marketplace that exists for booksellers and publishers out there today. Amazon comes to mind. Arguably, there are much more important issues than just the copyright stuff at this point in time for publishers. And, you know, can Polante help lead the industry forward on all of the issues facing publishers? This is really going to be worth watching, especially if you believe, like I happen to believe, that IP or anything copyright related is really not going to have much action in Congress in the upcoming years, especially with the new administration seeming to have other issues on their mind. And finally, is Polante going to be happy at AAP? And I ask this because the Copyright Office was a big job. It had over 400 employees, and it touched on really big, sweeping issues. And in contrast, the AAP job is pretty small. You know, there's just, you know, a handful of employees in comparison. And the job is, you know, pretty parochial. It's a great gig, no question. Everyone who's had it has said so. But if you look at recent history, people who take the job as president and CEO, Tom Allen, Pat Schroeder, for example, it's been like second careers for them. You know, it's happened after they left Congress. Polante's career, it may have been interrupted at the Copyright Office by Carla Hayden removing her, but I think it's fair to say that she is solidly in the prime of her career. So is she going to be content to spend these years, you know, just advocating for one industry? We'll see. You know, I look forward to actually asking her myself in the coming weeks and months. But I'll say this, if she is content and she does like what she's doing with AAP, AAP could have a very strong leader and for a very long time.
Well, indeed. And one of the communities, though, that hasn't been necessarily a fan of Maria Polante's work at the Copyright Office is the library community. And you'll be among them next week in Atlanta for the ALA midwinter meeting. And I'm sure, of course, copyright will be an issue there. But what else is going to be on Librarians' Minds?
Sure. So, you know, we talked a little bit about the ALA Midwinter meeting in December before we went on break. We talked about PW's ALA Midwinter preview and our top 10 library stories of the year. And both of those stories, I should say, are online on the PW website for listeners who might have missed them at the time. And I'll say this, that Maria Palante's removal from the copyright office did indeed make that top 10 library stories list. But in Monday's issue, our columnist Brian Kenny points out what we suspected when we talked last about ALA in December. And that's that a lot of librarians are going to be thinking about what Donald Trump and the politics that led to Donald Trump's election means for them. And I think it's almost fitting that the library community is going to be together on the day that Trump takes office. The opening day of the ALA Midwinter Conference, which is in Atlanta, is on the 20th of January, which is the day that Trump will be sworn in. And I think that Trump swearing in certainly portends, at the very least, a time of uncertainty for libraries. And in his column, Brian Kenny looks at three issues that are related to Trump. One is the rise of fake news and how that can be an opportunity for libraries to engage with their communities. The second is the alt-right and the, you know, as indicated by the rise of the recent book deal of Milo Yiannopoulos, which we talked about last week. You know, how are libraries going to handle the rise of these kinds of previously fringe right-wing materials being put out by major publishers? And finally, the ALA. He has quite a bit to say about the ALA and its leadership role and how a leadership role from ALA is really needed, especially now as we face such uncertainty. This is an opportunity that he says ALA cannot afford to botch. And unfortunately, it seems they got off to a bit of a shaky start following Trump's election. So it's a fascinating read from Brian Kenny. And whether you're heading to ALA Midwinter in Atlanta next week or not, it's worth taking a look.
Indeed. Well, with recommended reading, as well as all of the latest publishing world news, Andrew Albanese, thanks so much for joining me on Beyond the Book, and speak with you again next Friday.
My pleasure, as always.
Coming next on Beyond the Book, more than the number of McDonald's restaurants across the United States, more even than the number of towns and cities in all 50 states, yet they hide in plain sight. The inconspicuous and ubiquitous institution is the public library. But the creeping growth of library deserts calls for action, says Jill Hurst-Wall, who teaches at the Syracuse University School of Information Studies. In her latest post on the Digitization 101 blog, Hurst-Wall calls for librarians and others to irrigate those deserts with innovative approaches to information sharing.
That statistic gets thrown out frequently because the McDonald's are so visible. We have them in our towns and cities, in our airports, in our malls, but that's not where libraries are. Libraries are often in the central part of a city or a town on a main road, but sometimes not. Sometimes they're kind of tucked away in some place where there is land available. They don't always have flashy signage, kind of arrows pointing out where they are. And so making them more visible, flashy, if you will, I think is something that would help our libraries, kind of pointing out that that's where they are. Think about the neon that our fast food places have. Why can't our libraries have like really nice signage and maybe a little bit of neon? Placing libraries in more high traffic areas. And so why not have libraries in malls, in airports, in train stations, in places where people are congregating and where they have extra time and might be interested in borrowing a book?
A new look at libraries with Jill Hurst-Wall, next on Beyond the Book. Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center with subsidiaries RightsDirect in the Netherlands and Ixis in the United Kingdom. CCC is a global leader in content workflow, document delivery, text and data mining, and rights licensing technology. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Briskey of Burst Marketing. I'm Christopher Keneally. Join us again soon on Beyond the Book.